why can I promote my name, my own name? Let me and people start ordering online. So that's why we gave our phone number on $100 bill. John Freeman.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
That's wonderful. Let us know what it is you do and who you are, just a little bit.
Well, my name is John Freeman, and I have a Liberian restaurant owner in Edmonton, Canada, in Alberta, let's say, in Pacific, right? I've been working in oil and gas for years since 2013 when I moved to Alberta from Ontario. I used to be the owner of a Liberian restaurant in Toronto called Wimpy's Diner. I had a franchise in downtown Toronto, Church and Dundas. I run it for a few years, then I sold it before I moved to this side of the world, which is in Alberta, Canada. Then I decided to go on oil and gas to make some money on oil and gas. In 2019, we got laid off because of the oil price went down, so we got laid off. And my wife is a great cook, so I took her ideas. I said, woman, you can cook very well instead of doing it like that. Why don't we open our own restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't have the idea, but I'm a man who believes in God.
Mm.
So I pray about it, and God gave me the wisdom to do it. So the vision, actually, to be specific. So I started from home. So what I did, I registered my business, and I went to Facebook. I make the food, take a picture of the food, post it on Facebook, people order it. I say, they give you free delivery, $19.99 for a bowl of soup. And people start ordering online. So that's where I started to build my clientele. So I did that for 21 months. Everybody got to know me in Edmonton. So when I knew that I got over 250 customers online in the city ordering from my house, I decided to get a location. So I've been shopping around for places to rent, and I finally got this location right on 82 Street, which is a great and marvelous location right on the main road. So that's what I've been doing all along. And my clientele, so when I open here, I don't have to struggle for customers.
Right.
They go to my website and know who I am already. Mm-hmm. So when they call, say, oh, but I have a restaurant now. And when I send a message on Facebook, I own a restaurant. So I don't need to build anything again. My customers come in with their friends and building more customers. So I'm not struggling for getting a customer because they already exist for 21 months.
Right.
So that's what I've been doing all along. And I'm a guy who loves to eat. So I love for cooking. I sell food because I don't want to go hungry.
And you find a woman who also loves to cook.
My mom can cook like, you know, nobody business. So,
she's
a Liberian. And
the thing that you said that struck me the most is that you managed to figure out a way to take, you saw an opportunity in your wife cooking,
correct,
which is something that so many people take for granted.
Yeah.
They will bring their friends, so they never think about, oh, my wife can cook, let me go start a restaurant.
It's true.
And you said, my wife can cook.
That's right.
Let me go start a restaurant.
Yeah.
Why?
What I did first, right, I decided to, I talked to the head office of my franchise company I used to run in Toronto, Mr. Chris Wimpy's. He told me if I want to open another one in Edmonton, I'll be the first person to open the Wimpy's in Alberta, in the West. But it's going to cost me like a couple hundreds of grand. I wish I don't have that position right now to bring that cash out.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, why would I be promoting someone else's business? Why can't I promote my name, my own name? Let me start something that I will be for me and myself and I. So when I look at the talents of my wife, she's a professional cook. She used to sell in the church on Sunday morning when we go to church on Sunday. She'll make the meat pie, the pepper collar, the cayenne, pursue and fufu, GB soup, peanut butter soup, cassava leaf. We'll take it to church. Before you know it, it's sold out. And people would take it for credit. They never pay it back anyway. So I said, babe, why are we doing that? And in the church, they start bringing propaganda. Everybody want to come sell at the same time. You know, Liberian people, when you start something, everybody want to join you. They want
right.
the same. So my wife told me, baby, everybody want to sell in the church. I said, okay, babe, you know what? Stop selling in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sell it. Leave it. And I do that for 6 months. I didn't tell her that we're going to open a place. But I just told her, don't do it again.
Don't do it.
Just stay. home, I would see what I could do. I'm making good money on the oil on the oil field, so I don't really need to struggle for, we're not struggling for money. Mm-hmm. But I say, okay, wait. Then I was praying about it concerning this business. I said, look, I need that idea that I can have a business in my own name. So driving, coming down from work, this vision just coming to me. So I came to my wife and said, babe, I have this idea. We'll register the business.
So let's go back. You said a couple of things. You kept bringing up your wife. You said that, you know, her being a cook. Tell me a little bit about your wife and how you guys met.
When I met, she's from the States, and I used to love the party a lot. So I met my wife. I did different women from all over the world, from Nigeria, especially Nigerian girls. I did Nigerian girls. So mostly my girls are all Nigerians. Oh, it's from Congo.
Is your wife now Liberian?
Yeah, Liberian now.
Is this your first Liberian wife?
Ever.
Really?
Yeah.
And you married her?
Even girlfriend ever. I never have a Liberian girlfriend. I just met the first Liberian girl and I married her straight. Just because, actually, now because I don't like the foreign women I was with. The fact that meeting mankind and we eat the same food, we think the same, we almost have the same culture. So that motivate me mostly to get closer to her. And, you know, the Bible say in the book of Proverbs 5, woman, child, make sure, say, love the woman of your youth and listen to the counsel, because when you are old, your whole body is breaking down. You say, I wish I would have listened to advice, to counsel, because by you dating a foreign woman, the fact of the matter that when you are strong, you make her wealthy. She go back home to her wealth, to her country, with your wealth. And you will not go back because you end up going back to your country. And when you go back home to your land, the fact of the matter here that you're all breaking down, you're old and done. What's going to happen? You're going to say, oh, if I knew when I was young, I would have listened to counseling to marry my kind. Because whatever happened, you'll go back to your country together. Whether she's from the same city or same province, but you're going to the same country.
And it's all for the same economy.
Yes. But when she go back, fact the fast in Nigeria or fast Zimbabwe, and you are in the West, you can't do nothing about it anymore. It's too late. So, I mean, I'm not being racist.
No.
Straight with you.
No.
But it always better to marry your kind. It always, for me personally, because men like me, I have been around the world. I have dated women from every face of the earth. I have traveled over 36 countries. I've been all over the world, all over. You can name it, I've been there. The only place I've never been to Russia, and I never been to Saudi Arabia, because you know what? I don't want to be beheaded. So,
so you stayed away from
stayed
that.
Away from those places.
And you couldn't do what you do in other places in Saudi Arabia, so, because the law is a little bit more stricter.
Exactly.
So what specifically was different about your wife? When was the moment you knew that, okay, this is the woman I'm going to marry?
Well, when I met her, we were dating for a while. When she came from the States to visit in town in Toronto, I went for dinner and we talked. And the fact that my buddy and I from Congo would talk about it, he said, listen, I told my buddy, I love this girl, man. She's a nice girl. It's okay. What we do, don't give her no money. Don't take her shopping. Don't buy her nothing. Because those days we roll in cash. We give our phone number on $100 bills. Say, this is my business card. Give me a call. A particular girl, when I met her, I didn't give her no $100
bill. I never heard that.
Yeah. I didn't never give her $100 bill on my phone card, on my business card. I just told her, I like you.
And how did women take that? Did they feel disrespected when
go crazy.
They go crazy over that. They like that.
Give a girl $100 bill on your, say, this is my business card, give me a call. She'll definitely call you.
That's a boss she'll move right there.
She'll call you. Definitely. And back in the day, back in 2006 and 7, you give a girl $100 bill in the club, you say, listen, give me a call, this is my business card. I bet before you get to your house, she'll be calling you, bro. I mean, that ain't no bullshit.
No, I believe you.
Yeah, you can't blame them, because you know what? You bring money up, they will go for it. Mm-hmm. Anybody will fall for it. There ain't no love there. Even when she thinks she love you, don't believe it, because the fact here that you show money from the beginning. So you can't come tell me, say.
So with your wife, you took a different approach?
No, I took her shopping. But what I did, I took her to, how do you call that? Old Navy's.
Okay.
The cheapest store in Marin, Toronto.
Right.
I hold a cheaper jacket for $50. And she appreciated it.
That's key.
When she said she appreciated it, she was so excited about it. And I'm talking here, I'm sitting with $100,000 cash in my car. And I told her I bought her $50 jacket. And she never complained. And wow. That right there motivated me. I said, you know what? That's a woman.
She's different.
She was completely different. She never bought me with cash. And then when I'm actually getting to her and she start working, when she worked, she would tell me how much she make. She would show me her paycheck. She said, I don't want a U-ticket. She would give me her paycheck. Come on. Where you ever find that kind of woman in the world? In my own kind. Every month she work, every 2 weeks she come, pay her check, she give it to me. I don't need it, but she just, the fact that she give me the money, say, babe, this is what I make for the week. It just for that courtesy, that thought of marriage, that was a wife image. Woman, of what they call wife. They got woman and they got wives. They got girl and they got real woman that you can marry. They call married material.
Mm.
And they got one that's a girlfriend material.
Talk to them.
You know what I'm saying?
They're going to learn today.
Yeah.
So, they don't know.
No, they don't know. So we the made out of some boys that all they go looking for women are going to get married and they see they go by beauty. Beauty can fail away. Don't fall in love with beauty. If you fall in love, you'll be disappointed. Because when the 10, that 300 pound come up there, if you're the woman you married to a beauty, you'll regret. So always better to marry to a character than marrying to a beauty. Because beauty will fail away. It's very important for the young people that are coming out who are looking for wives. Or because she got a long hair, she's tall, she's beautiful. Yes, she is beautiful. But believe me, it ain't going to last forever.
Hmm.
It ain't going to last.
100%.
A lot of our young people make that mistake a lot. And then they end up divorcing tomorrow and they regret why they did that. Because first of all, they never get counseling on the right path. So they end up falling in love with the wrong person and they end up paying child support for the rest of their life.
Where would a young person get proper counseling from? Who do they turn to? Do they turn to who gives these counseling? And where did you get your counseling and disciplines from?
My discipline, personally.
But let's put a break on that because you ran around for a bit.
Yeah.
You did your thing.
Exactly.
Barrow IE playing. You're my man, the president now. Yeah. We are.
We are. Just
we are. James Salisa Deba.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want. Right? You did your thing for a while.
Yeah, I did.
So it took you a while. So what would be your advice now looking back and saying, okay, I think this is where young people should direct and focus their attention?
You know, people like us who have been around the world, who travel a lot, who have gained a lot of experience, I didn't get counseling from people. I get counseling from my personal lifestyle I have lived. And I went into it, I fall into it, and I failed, and I came back, I failed. Whenever you fail into things, you grow. They say, well, it will not kill you, it will make you stronger. So these are the places I have been, and true life experience, that will make I got more experience about when it comes to women, and when it comes to getting married, when it comes to in the world that we live in today, when it comes to this stage, you gotta be careful how you get yourself involved, which relationship you get yourself involved. And I did that because myself personally, I've been hurt many times. I've been broken heart due because I make the wrong choice. So these are the things, when I came out of it, I took that as an experience. Saying it didn't kill me, I begin to take that as experience to counsel young people who are coming up. So when I see them doing it, I say, son, don't do it. My boy, I've been there, don't die. When I would tell you something, it's the fact that because I've been in it, that reason why I'm a standard advise you. It doesn't, I'm not telling you because I went to a counseling school, I'm a this person. Tell my wife I'm busy.
Sorry. Sure, I understand. That would be on there. Go ahead, yeah.
So the experience that I gained is through my own up and down and fail and make it up to this day. As long as you are alive, you stay growing, you stay learning every day. So when the young people are coming up, they are blessing the funds of elder person who have the experience, who were educated, so they can't fall into the same trap that we fell in before we became experienced, before we became wise. For them, if they listen, they're wise, they will learn without falling into it.
Right.
For example, we're talking about getting married, getting falling in love, and being serious with somebody. And those things you need to have that experience. Like Lake Sun, mm-hmm. and not every woman are a wife, and not every man are a husband. The men, somebody that come, they want to get into that dress, want to get what they want, they're gone. We did it. I met girls who I just want to, you know what, especially when she says, you don't want me. I become more, as a talent, it's a challenge for me. I say, well, who are you that you say you don't want me?
Right.
I would do whatever I take just to go into that dress. And once I get in that dress, I change my mind. You call me tomorrow, I'm not going to pick up your call. I've been there, I've done it. At a young age, I'm in my 20s, 25, 26. So those things, they counsel, they advise, go to women, go to the young girls and the young men too.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you know, one of the things that really, when I called yesterday, I called the store because I was hungry and I needed some food. When I called the store yesterday, the way you answered the phone, and I was like, no. This man is different. Then when I see you in person, one of the things that draw me to you is your energy. You have this wild energy. You're running up and down and coming back and forth. Yeah. Now, you own this business. This is your business. You are an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. How many hours would you say that you personally invest into this business to see it get successful?
Almost like I invest in 24 hours. Because what I do here, you see, whatever you do, whatever you want to be a success, you got to put your mind and soul and heart to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to succeed, don't let people run it for you. You see, a lot of our black business people, they make a lot of mistakes that make them, they don't get successful. They think that black people are not smart. The fact that, not like we are not smart, the fact that we quit to give up. For example, I'm running this business. I just started. I'm going to hire people to do my cooking, do my run around, and I'm paying them. Remember, you make percentage on your food you sell when you buy. When you remember the drink that you sell, you make the drink, you don't actually make money out of drinks. Because I run a liquor restaurant in Ontario with a liquor license and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The food you make, the way you make your money at, the percentage. You make when you sell, your percentage you add. That will add up to become, to grow. So when you imagine your percentage, when you hire much people than the way you make, you're literally working for free. But you will not understand. Because the money come in bulk, you think you are making money. But if you sit down at the end of the week, end of the day, you take all, subtract all the bills that are coming today for the shopping, for the grocery. For example, you spend $4,000 a week for your grocery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got about 8 or 7 employees that you're paying them maybe $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You subtract this money. Even when you have a 10 grand in your pocket, you took all that money out, you end up with zero in your pocket. And you look at it, the 24 hours, 18 hours you're spending a day in your shop, you're literally working for free. But before you get, that's why you see the Chinese and the Indian, they're very smart. Their wife, their son, the husband, they all work together mm-hmm. to begin to grow. They're setting in state, they're rich, then they hire someone else to come in. I got a guy next door, he got a pizza and a pizza place here, his son been running it for a while. They just hire another person now to pay them $15 an hour, but they got like almost, they make over $300,000, $400,000 a year. And they've been doing it, two of them, dad and the son and dad, working together, building themselves up. But black men, what we do now, they see that, oh man, I got money. They go bring the most expensive car first, go finance the business, the most expensive car, put in the driveway so they know they got money. They don't even have money yet. They just building up.
They got credit.
They got credit. So they're going to put their credit in the mess. I can do it right now if I want to, but I wouldn't do it. I learned my mistakes. See, these are the gain my experience now. I don't need to go to buy these cars. If I will buy, I will go buy cash in the future, but not now, and not anytime soon. I'm building the name of Cuisine on Wheels, Liberian Cuisine on Wheels. The vision that I have, I want to have more of this business around the country, around the nation. When I know that I'm financially settled, then I can do that. So I'm putting, you ask the question, how many hours do you put in? Basically, the only hour, the break that I have when I go home to go sleep, because when I come, I do grocery shopping, my wife doing the cooking, we're doing everything. We're trying to build the name of this business. So we basically putting a lot of hours in. I can't tell you exactly how many hours, but we'll put enough hours.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's, you know, all of it is a journey.
It is.
It's a part of life.
No doubt.
And one of the things, the consistent theme here is that you, this is not your first time on the block.
No.
You traveled to many countries, many cities. Yesterday, you told me that you just left Ontario two years ago.
No, 7 years ago.
Oh, 7 years ago. Right. But you left Ontario to come here.
Correct.
And you know what? Before I get to how you came up with the name for the business, I first want to understand, because you had many businesses, I first want to understand, why did you leave Ontario? And why did you specifically, what was it about Edmonton that sat with you? And you said, well, I think I can go there. And at what point did you decide you're going to stay? Because sometimes people come here to make money, the oil and gas. Anybody can come here and work in the oil and gas to make money and then take off.
Yeah, they do. A lot of them do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first question is, why did you leave Ontario, and why you stayed eventually? And of course, how did you come up with your business name?
Yeah. First of all, the reason of leaving Ontario is that when I get married in Ontario, and I was going to stay in Ontario. I love Ontario. My whole life was in Ontario. 27 years in Ontario. There's no way I want to leave Ontario like that. But I have to leave Ontario. The reason of leaving Ontario, I get married, and all my concubines are in Toronto. In my lifestyle, I was living in Toronto. I was trying to adjust a new lifestyle. I was trying to adjust a new lifestyle. I can't do it in an old place that I'm well known. My exes are there. My business partners are there. They encourage me to join them, and I'm trying to adjust myself out of it. And my wife, I don't want to lose my wife, because my wife was not part of those things. She's a new person in the block. I was trying to make the marriage work. She wanted to make the marriage work. So the only way I could have done it to make the marriage get stronger, I had to leave Ontario to relocate another place, a new place that I'm going to.
To start fresh.
Start fresh. So the only choice I had is to abandon the restaurant business completely for a few years. I had it in me. The zeal is there. But just a matter of fact that I decided to hold on for this vision until I catch myself. Let me catch up to myself in the future. So when I moved here, I decided, I said, babe, let me go to, I got a job with the oil and gas with Baker Hughes. They put me to school. They trained me with their equipment, how to run their equipment. And they start paying me good money. Coming home with $8,000 every 2 weeks, $8,000 every 2 weeks, back in the days, sometimes $12,000 when we're busy. And it was great. So when I came to Alberta, it was a great move. My wife and I, we started scratch. When I came to this country, in this province, I didn't bring anything from Ontario. The Range Rover was, I sold in Ontario, my Range Rover. I moved here with Ford Focus. I brought Ford Focus with rusty all over. I drove this car here with pride. Ontario, I could never have drive an old car.
Because you have a lifestyle, and people are looking up to you. They know who you are.
You got a lifestyle to keep. You got an integrity to keep. You do everything. You got it, but yeah, you're broke.
Here is different. Nobody knows you.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter what you drive.
Whatever you drive. So when I came here, I came like I was breaking down with zero. My wife and I came in, we started from scratch, like zero. Nobody can say I brought this town with money, I brought this Ferrari, this, and I drove a Ferrari in Ontario. I drove these cars in Ontario. But here, I came with nothing. So, start a new thing all over. I went to work. I was a journeyman. I was a professional oil and gas pumping. I started pumping fuel at the oil field, all the equipment. Then I moved to the pump shop, started pumping equipment, operating the equipment in the pump shop. Then from there, increased, you know, up. I did it for a few years. 2019, we got laid off. And when we get laid off, in the meantime, what those things are going through, the business, I'm going to God, crying to God every day to give me the vision. Because I'm a true believer. I have faith in Christ. So through this time, I was still praying to God to give me the desire. Because I said, when he go, because he said, I will go before you, make every crooked way straight. When you commit your way unto him, he will guide your footsteps. See, the step of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. So all along, when I was doing my thing, I gave it to God to help me. So being an OFE, in the same town of OFE, I was praying that God would give me the idea again to get back on this restaurant business. But then God gave me a wife that she got a good experience of cooking. She got finger. Like Brian said, the woman got finger. So the girl got finger. So I said, whoa, God, I caught it again. My girl got a finger. I get the idea to sell, to make, to bring, to cook, to do restaurant. Then it just worked out right for me, right? And I told my wife, listen, let's do this business. And now she asked me, say, but babe, what kind of name we're going to use? I said, what? Let's look for a name. Then I say, I said to her, but how we say cuisine, cuisine on the wheel? Then my wife said, no, how we say Liberian cuisine on wheel? The name just triggered my head. I said, yeah. I said, babe, that makes sense. That name is the correct name. I went to January 16, 2019. I went to the Ministry of Transportation. I checked for the name. They say it has not been taken. So I registered the name right away. And I took a picture. And I went to one librarian boy who have a printing shop, print flyer for me. And we posted on Facebook. I opened my own page on Facebook. That's a home page for Liberian Cuisine on Wheel. So I posted out there that day alone. Then my major sale that day was $300 or $500. And that day, I'm just driving around with my late four Focus, delivery everywhere in the city. People were just ordering. I said, oh.
So how much did you make that day?
$700 I made that day. To be exact.
In one day. From your house.
From my house.
From making a flyer.
Making a flyer.
Taking a picture, and registering, and yeah,
put on Facebook.
Day one. $700.
$700.
I can't wait to hear about day four.
People just start calling. I mean, it was just amazing. I tell my wife, baby, you see that too? Don't sell at the church. Now you see what I'm telling you? And again, the next day we start cooking, two of us start cooking, making meat pie, pepper soup, cassava leaf. I mean, with the all kinds, eh? And I'm delivering, like, people just calling everywhere. Money just start coming in. That's how I build my clientele. And the fact that this business, be persistent. Don't be active today, tomorrow you come down. And when I started, nobody was doing it. But the moment I started, a few months later, four people pop up every side. They start doing their own business. They start bringing. They even sabotage the price, my price and all. They sabotage it. Some girl would say 10 meatball for $15. But they thought that it would break me. But the fact that me, I love challenge. Especially when I get my wisdom from God, the vision from God, you cannot break me. You cannot. You cannot break a person like me. Because you know what? I'm consistent for what I do. They brought the price down to $15 an hour. You know what? For food, for 10 meatball for $15. So I told him, you know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to raise my price up. Because they thought that when they make their price low, I'm going to say, oh my God, I'm going to be nervous. Or they challenging me to sell. I would say, oh no, let me bring my price down. And because people are attacking me. I raised my price up for $25 a plate. $30 large, medium 25, which I still do it today. And I told him, look, you can pay any challenging one. Actually, the more you challenge me, I'll put my price up. You see, the fact that the food that go out, the food that you sell to your customer, you have to like it yourself. If you don't eat What you sell, no need for you to sell it. What you sell in your house, you must, what you sell, you must like what you eat. You must love it. Because if it go in you, it doesn't hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You can sell it out. But if I'm selling food I don't eat, I don't like it, I will never sell it to you.
Right.
Me, it's a, I'm poisoning my customer, my customers. I don't do that. And I'm not doing it just for the money. I'm doing it because I have passion for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love to eat and I love people who eat my food. The more determines that your food tastes good, it motivates me to do even better. And the kind of man I am. That's what I've been doing. When people call customer, they have, when you go on Facebook, you go on Google,
mm-hmm.
people who have ate here and they have been sending a review. When I see their review, I can be so touched. And it make me, it motivate me more to make, I want to cook even, I want to do even more food. Like the suya meat I start making now, I got my Nigerian customer, I got the Liberian young people coming to buy. Because they try, they love it. Like, they just love what I do. Because I love what I do. And I love what I sell because I eat it myself. So it's just something that you have to like what you do. I'm not competing with anybody. You compete with me, no problem.
Right.
But I'll tell you one thing, this is my personal gift. And you can't take it from me. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how, you know, because somebody might be listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something that I hear in the community all the time, where you start something, someone else go and start the same thing.
Yep.
Because they think that, but you made a point. You said, look, you have to love it. And that love is the passion that you hold for that thing. You yourself have to.
Exactly.
And that's what differentiate the people that come in.
Yeah.
They may start off a little rough, but they eventually stay and all everyone else disappears.
Exactly.
Where did you get the money? How did you come up with the money to start this business?
I told you I work for oil and gas, right?
That's right.
Yes. So we had my wife and I, we had saving. We have, we saved a lot of money on the oil and we bought, I had money saved.
And that's how you
so
came
we,
up with
we
it.
We still had a backup wherever we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't take me much to invest to start, to be honest with you. This was a gift of God, to be really honest with you. I didn't invest that much money. I didn't touch my saving, a lot of in my saving. We only use our credit card to start this business.
Mm-hmm.
And registering the business. The moment I registered the business, when I put the menu out there, I start making my money back where I invested. So honestly speaking, the idea was to go however to give her the wisdom and the zeal. So we didn't really invest that much money. Anything that belongs to God, you don't kill yourself to spend too much.
Right.
You start building the money. When you grow, when the business is growing, then you start spending. For example, now, setting up the website. You know, when I started the first website I had, when I started the business in 2019, it cost me only $150. There was a young kid that worked with me in the oil field. That kid is a great kid. You know, he was the one that was learning how to do a website. A website developer, young kid, 19 years old. When I told him about my business, he said, but I can do your website for you. Give me $150. And he did it. It was perfect. People should order online, and they pay online back then, 2019. But then when the website expired, I went back to him to redo it again. But he said, no, he don't do it anymore. He got a job with another company on the oil field.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making money now. He's on, I think, North Dakota, somewhere around there. He was working. He couldn't come back to
Got it.
So
yeah.
I just had to cancel him. That's how I went to an Indian developer in India to mm-hmm. open me a new website, which he had become a delay slow. And so I'm there today. You heard I was negotiating with somebody.
That's right, yeah.
In California for the new website developer to help me out. So basically, it didn't cost me like arm and leg. But in the long run now, it costs me money to build the name.
Right.
The website, to set up a website, the publicity, finding the location, the rent now. And, you know, I Google, you know, Facebook now.
Now you're getting into the 80-degree things,
yes.
Now because it's no longer,
yes.
Again, you know,
no.
It's no longer under your roof anymore.
No.
So now you're actually starting to see the corporate side of,
exactly.
of things.
Now I'm going to a corporate side now. And taxes are getting in, paying the taxes, and my GST all going on now according to plan. So, I mean, it's going great. I just glorify God for that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's just something you said. You said that you had savings, but you you went with your visa, you paid on your visa. Now, was that a conscious decision or was that just one of those things where you have the money in your bank account, you purchase with your visa, you get home, you put it back onto the visa? Is that kind of how it works? Okay, okay. Yeah, just wanted to clarify that because, you know.
Because when I went to the, you know, you walk to the Ministry of Registration, right. They say, okay, it's going to cost you $475, $375. You at that moment you don't have you don't think twice.
No, no, no. Of course not. Yeah.
Look at wallet.
Yeah.
Put on my visa.
There you go.
That's what I did.
And then you go home. You put it back. Yeah. People just need to know before they go start opening businesses with visas and MasterCards and things like that, right?
But who want to open a business? One advice I will give you: don't get yourself in too much debt to start. If you start with too much debt, you're not gonna go too far. You will break down.
Right.
Because nothing is easy when you start a business. The beginning is the hardest. The first 2 years. Trust me, don't be planning for profit. You're not going to make profit. Only you do magician. But let me tell you the truth. If you're doing this business, any business that you start, for example, restaurant, for example, hair salon, those people that are doing this thing, beginning is not a joke. And by you getting too much overhead, and the reason my business get it, I guess, it goes so I started from home. So my rent at my house, I was not paying light bill. I was renting an apartment. My wife and I rent. We built our house. Last year, we moved to our own house. We built it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't buy the house.
You built it from the ground up.
We saw the land. We designed the land of how we want to build our property. We built in Edmonton the way we want it. We designed. My wife's a great designer. It's people that walk in, they say, wow.
I can't wait to meet your wife. I hope there's that opportunity because she just sounds like this mystical person.
She's my sweetheart.
Yeah.
She's my soulmate.
You know?
Right? She's my soulmate. So, she's been a help to me. God will bring people at your path who will cut to pull your vision. It takes two to mingle. And every success person, it takes a strong woman behind them.
And that's been proven. How do you build a successful business?
Every successful business, that's what I say, don't start with heavy overhead. And every successful business, be honest, what do you do? You want to be successful? Put God first. I'm not talking about people, I'm not talking about the unbeliever, I'm talking about as a Christian business person. They got a lot of different business people out there who do their own because they have the money and they don't care about what are the law. If they lost $100,000 after 3 days, it's not even a scratch to them.
Right.
Doesn't even bother them one bit. But you and I who believe in God, who started from scratch, whatever you do, be honest with what you do. Don't start being out of emotion. Or don't do it out of competition, like in your mind. Oh, because she doing it or he doing it, I'm going to do it. Listen, remember, you don't have the blueprint that the person that I have. So that person that I have, that blueprint, he the one that God has given you to do that. He got the original. But you, who jump in it because you saw him doing it, you want to do the same, you will fail tomorrow because it's not your call. And that was a lot of people would go big, they never go far, they break down because they didn't have the vision. Because they saw somebody doing it, they jump in it. And they think they're going to make it because they see John Doe were doing it great. So they think they will make it too. No, John Brown, he got the blueprint. You don't have the blueprint. He already had a plan in order. Everything had been set for him that this is what I want to do. Okay, suppose I fail. When I started this business, I had a second plan in case. I'm class one licensed. I drive heavy equipment. So, just in case I fail, if nobody buy it, I
go back to work.
Month, I go back to my trucking. I can buy myself a truck. I use the truck head. I'll be driving, delivering trailer to Toronto in the States, and I'm getting paid. So, I'm not losing any weight. But a lot of us want to join business because we see John Brown was doing it, so I want to do it. No, if it's not your call, don't do it. That was a lot of people failing there. You want to be successful? Plan it well. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Don't be stealing from your customers. Even when it's sense. If it belongs to you, if it belongs to them, give it back to them. There God will see, this is my faithful servant. And he will bless you more. You may not get all one day, but it will come. trust me, it will come. And I know this business is going to be successful. It's getting successful anyway. It's going
to
get there.
I want us to, I want you to speak briefly about the energy. We talk about your cable company, which is owned by a Liberian. See, I didn't know this. I didn't know this because the information I get, I don't get the information that says Liberian owned this and Liberian owned that and Liberian are buying their own houses and Liberian are doing this. That's not the information I'm getting. Oh. I'm getting something entirely different. Oh, no. So walk me through it, and I'm sure I'm not alone. I like to say I'm not alone. Maybe I am, and if I am, I take that responsibility. Yeah. But walk me through just the energy or the spirit of the Liberian people here in Edmonton in terms of the things that they're doing to basically take over.
To be really honest with you, being a mature person in this province, in this town, being a town coming from Ontario, the Liberian that I have saw in this town, they're very serious. Every young Liberian here get their own property. They have their own houses. They own their own business. Hairdressing salon, barber shop, owned by Liberians. Real estate agents here, they own their homes here. They get home and back home. They have a big business back home. And one is a big farmer, right? They call him Brother Dio Gehazi. He opened a big, he got an apartment, four-story building he built in Liberia. And when I saw a beautiful place. And he just got a farm now that he just developing in Liberia right now. And we got our cable company here in town, they call Cloud Star. They owned by a young Liberian, two young Liberian young men who came from Liberia about 2 years ago. They came here in this town. They just bought their own house.
You're telling me the story.
They're doing very well. This basically the whole, almost every community in this town, Somalian, the Ethiopian community, they rent their cable from them. Their price is reasonable, and they have one of the fastest speed, high-speed internet in town. They call them the Cloud Star. Young people, they are in their early 30s. They're doing very, very well. They just bought their own house in 2 years in Canada. So I will tell you the truth. That will make me proud of the Liberian Edmonton. They're doing so well. The young people are sitting, Papi, I just bought a house. Mm-hmm. Papi, I just bought a house. Papi, I just bought a house. Every one of them just buying homes. They got their own home. They're not renting. Yeah. Even those who haven't bought their own yet, they plan to buy. By next year, I can tell you there will be somebody will be owning their own property too. When I have my year and when I bought my house, when I built my house, when the people came for the grand opening, most of them were motivated. A lot of young people were motivated. They said, they start asking me questions. Papi, how you do it? How you do this? How you do that? And I tell them, I don't hold back those things. I help them get them the idea, who to go to, what to start, and how you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing well. And Alberta, Liberia and Alberta, they're doing very well. I'm very proud of them. I mean, they're not planning to rent an apartment. They're renting, they're buying their homes now. And I'm very proud of them. So, I mean.
This has been such an incredible interview. Is there any questions? There's so many questions on here, but we don't have all the time in the world. So, but is there anything that perhaps you would really, really like to touch upon? And after that, get your final words and we can wrap this up.
I would tell everybody out there who are listening, young people who are listening, who are planning to do business. I mean, when you're starting a business, put your whole mind to it. It's not going to be a bread and butter. Any money that comes quick, the faster it comes, the faster it will leave you. But if you work hard for it, it stays with you. And it will grow. Money grow. Money, it got blood, it can grow. But if you abuse it, it dies. Yeah. So whatever you do, if you want to start a business, put your whole mind into it. Sacrifice your time in it and put God first. When you put him first, he will see you through.
And
don't let anybody fool you that you're gonna be like a bread and butter. It's impossible. Yeah. I started with nothing. But God was the one who.
And here you are 2 years in.
Yeah.
On a COVID.
Even he make it even more bigger. I'm more busy in the COVID than even when I was not.
Than when you weren't.
Yeah.
And that's a
COVID time got more crazy busy.
You're like the Amazon.
Yeah.
For the restaurant joint right now.
Uh-huh.
The Amazon and the Walmart.
The Walmart, yeah.
Essential business.
They're the one that's making a killing money right now. I'm telling the truth. People gotta eat. common sense. Right now, with the lockdown, people got to eat. They got to try that pepper soup. When you got a cold, you need a pepper soup to drink.
That's right. And it's hot.
See, and you eat my GB soup, you try my GB soup, you're going to have to call back.
Mm-hmm.
You try my goat soup, you're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You call my cassava, you will come back.
Talk to them.
The Congolese, the Rwandian, the
talk to them.
When they come, when they call, when they try my food, they say, man, I'm going back to that restaurant.
Mm.
I'm going back there. So they love our food. They love their food.
For everybody watching this interview, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in every week to watch and tune in for the interview. But also, if you are in Edmonton or wherever you are, you know where you need to go. You know the food you need to taste. Because when I came in last night and I was starving and I called my cousin Leo up, I said, Leo, are there any African restaurants in Edmonton? And Leo said, give me a second. And he forwarded me this address and I called him up. And here we are today having an interview. This is completely spontaneous. And the food, I had potato green. It was hella delicious. All right. It was hella delicious. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all. Tell the people where they can find you real quick. We're out of here.
We are 11720 82 Street, Northwest Edmonton, Alberta. When you come in, you can go to my website, the www.liberiancuisineonwheels.ca. You click on it, you go to my website, you see all our menu. You go on Facebook, you click on Liberian Cuisine, you will find our daily menu out there. And if you ever, you want to come to town, you give me a call. And my number is 780-803-5885. That is the owner, John Freeman. You can call me up, and I will direct you how to get here. And you'll be really, you'll not regret by coming to eat at my restaurant. You will never regret. You go back with memories. People came from Ottawa. Some delegate came to eat in the Kinder town. And some Nigerian friend of mine introduced them to here. They came over. They had my suya meat. They keep on talking about it from Ottawa. They call me from Ottawa. I say, my God, why don't you move to Ontario? I say, I'm coming in the future.
Nigerian people say they don't eat cassava leaf. Yeah. Have they had your cassava leaf?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, for all the Nigerian people out there who's continuously tell me, oh, we don't know what cassava leaf is. Ah, what is this one? For goat.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
It's Jamaican. Jamaican don't eat cassava leaf, but now they eat here.
Now they eat cassava leaf.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I keep telling people, if you want the best cuisine, you gotta go to Liberia, and you gotta try that Liberian cuisine.
Matter of fact, 2018, 2019, Liberian food was number one in Alberta in heritage.
Twice no way.
In 2 years. We have taken the award twice, our food that we sell. We became number one twice in 2 years in 120 countries in the world. We were number one twice. We have taken the reason we didn't win the 20 this year because of the pandemic, we didn't go through this year.
Right.
But 2018, we did. 2019, we did.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's information. I told you, you have so many stories. Listen, this is a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. See you guys next week. Peace.
Right.